As in her first season, Artistic Director of the Williamstown Theater Festival, Jenny Gersten, has announced there will be a total of 7 productions, 3 on the main stage, 4 on the NECO stage of this year's festival. The performing season will run from June 26th to August 19th, and my God, what a season. For their 2012 season, there will be a world premiere by the award-winning mountaintop playwright Katori Hall, plus works by Oscar Wilde, Neil Simon, and many more. A pair of productions will enable Berkshire audiences to see another side of the actors David Hyde Pierce and Jessica Stone. They will showcase their work as directors for 2 popular plays. And, oh yeah, Bradley Cooper and Patricia Clarkson will star in The Elephant Man. This is just a taste of what's happening, and we'll get into so much more. But I want to get right to our guest because she is wonderful. Artistic Director Jenny Gersten. Jenny, it is wonderful to have you here.
I'm very happy to be here, Joe.
Well, it's a delight. So I went to the mailbox yesterday, and I got my brochure in the mail for the Williamstown Theater Festival 2012 season. And besides that, it looks beautiful.
I think it looks beautiful, too. I got mine in the mail.
Snazzy.
Also, and I don't get the brochure when it gets printed because it gets printed up here in the Berkshires. And so I got my brochure for the first time in the mail on Saturday, and I thought, oh, it looks really good.
So let me just, I want to read some of the names that are attached to this festival, because this is incredible. David Hyde Pierce, Tyne Daly, Bob Balaban, Becky Ann Baker, Blythe Danner. Wow. Jessica Stone, Lily Taylor. You also are Far From Heaven, which is very cool. We'll talk about that. Patricia Clarkson, Bradley Cooper, not to mention Susie Essman and Lewis Black, and I'm leaving a lot out. So, wow.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. So when you put a festival, a season together, what is it that you want to accomplish artistically?
Well, that's a great question, actually. I look for, you know, I mean, the obvious answer is you look for a mix of, you know, sort of the serious and the comic and the new and the sort of, revered. And when you take those revered things, the deeply loved pieces, how can you put a twist on them to showcase them in a different way? And then a little bit of my personal taste, of course, enters into it. And, you know, things that really excite me personally, artists that I love to work with, enters into it. And then it's just a little bit of opportunity. So it's a really great sort of melange, if you will.
When you're going to start off the first actual production, you're doing the David Byrne thing.
I didn't even mention
his name.
I know you didn't. Here Lies Love at Mass MoCA, which predates the season at Williamstown by a week, will be in residence at Mass MoCA for the month of June, but the performances of David Byrne's new musical, Here Lies Love, will be June 21st to the 24th.
And this is what happens when you put Fatboy Slim and David Byrne in a room together.
It is. I mean, I can't take credit for doing that. They created an album a couple of years ago. David was really interested in exploring the life of Imelda Marcos. Not the shoes. Everyone always asks about the shoes. The shoes aren't even mentioned in this show.
That I like that.
Yeah,
good
I know.
For them.
I think so too. But he really wanted to explore her life, sort of starting from, you know, basically an poverty, and taking that. What is that journey that takes her to the ascension, to basically the leader of the country, and how she then disregards the place from whence she came, and. The reason Fatboy Slim got involved is because I think David Byrne was interested in creating sort of the piece in the milieu of disco, because Imelda Marcos loved discos. She had discos installed in all of her homes in New York and in the Philippines. And so I think he thought that approaching the piece musically from this kind of era of disco, which musically kind of is sort of excessive and sort of superfluous almost in some ways, might be a fitting match for the story he was trying to tell.
And they'll actually be performing.
Yeah, it's going to be fully performed. I mean, we're calling it a workshop because it's still very early on in the artistic life of this piece,
right.
But it will be fully staged and they'll be off book and all of that. And the piece is immersive. So actually, we're going to be in the Hunter Center for the Performing Arts at Mass MoCA, but the environment will be disco tech like, and the audience will be on their feet walking around the piece. It's about an 80-minute piece, I think.
When we look at what is starting off on the main stage on June 26th, The Importance of Being Earnest. Now, here's a show that was just recently on Broadway with Brian Bedford.
Correct.
And then, so now this is David Hyde Pierce, who is directing this. He takes his hand at it. And, well, you put Tyne Daly in the mix. Pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no really good reason. I mean, The Importance of Being Earnest is a great play, and that revival that Brian Bedford did last year was spectacular. So, you know, as David Byrne says, there's no really good reason to do a revival of The Importance of Being Earnest, except that we found a different way into it that we were really interested in, and that play is fantastic. And we haven't done it in Williamstown for years, so we really wanted to take a tack at it. And David had this idea to use the patois of Damon Runyon, sort of, and sort of mafioso kind of mystique to heighten the language that Oscar Wilde uses. We're not changing the play at all. It's completely intact. We're not changing the place. It's still taking place in England. But somehow the status of mafia and the status that Wilde is using or making fun of in the play seem to go really nicely together. We did a reading of it before we decided to do it, and it worked hilariously. Suddenly, that cucumber sandwich scene takes on a whole new meaning.
And then, as I said, Tyne Daly, my God.
Well, I mean, if you ever wanted anyone to sort of lead the charge of creating sort of the world of mafia and gravitas, Tyne Daly, you couldn't ask for better. And she's an extraordinary performer. And she and David have worked together before, so it was a great sort of recombining.
This is fresh from Masterclass for her.
Yeah.
Which is,
she just finished in London.
Yeah, wow. And then on the Nico stage, it's The Blue Deep, which is by Lucy Boyle, directed by Bob Balaban, who is an incredibly talented, funny performer.
And director.
And he's directing this. It's a world premiere. Becky Ann Baker, Blythe Danner, again, a lot to... Now, what do we know about the show, The Blue Deep?
The Blue Deep is basically a mother-daughter story. It explores the story of a young woman who comes home to her mom's beach house, basically, in the summer. And they start to get into the depth of their relationship around the loss of the girl's father, the wife's husband, Blythe's. The character that Bly's playing husband. And it sounds a little sad, but it's actually a very funny play, and it's very human, and it's a beautiful part for Blythe and the supporting cast. We have Heather Lind as the daughter. She started in the non-equity company at Williamstown. Becky, who's a favorite. Also Finn Wittrock, who is on Broadway right now, Dead
Salesman.
The Salesman.
Yeah.
So it's a really great group.
Finn Wittrock may be the greatest name in the...
I'm so happy I said it.
Finn Wittrock. Then last of the Red Hot Lovers, Neil Simon. You do Neil Simon. Has the theater festival ever done Neil
Maybe
Simon?
Never. I haven't actually checked, but I don't believe we have.
Yeah, because that was always sort of a thing. Like, we don't do Neil Simon.
It feels very sort of stereotypically summer stock to indulge in Neil Simon, but I don't feel like that at all. And in fact, Jessica Stone took it and said, this is a great play. He's one of the great American authors. I mean, playwrights.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we don't give him credit for that. This piece, Last of the Red Hot Lovers, has incredible pathos to it, as well as his really, you know, razor-sharp humor. And the cast is led by Brooks Eshmanskis, who's a Williamstown favorite.
Yep.
And we have Jessica Stone directing, who did that incredible funny thing happened on the way to the Forum revival 3 years ago.
With her husband, right?
Yes, with Mr. Christopher Fitzgerald. But in this play, so we have Brooks and we have Lily Taylor.
Yeah.
And we have, we have Leslie Bibb. We haven't announced that yet, but I'll give you
okay.
the lead.
Okay.
And we have Susie Essman.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic show.
Yeah. And it's Brooks, basically, the character of Brooks trying to have three trysts with women and trying to be sort of in the middle of the sexual revolution of the late 60s, but not really quite being able to come through with it.
And one of them, Susie Essman.
Uh-huh.
Well, there you go. That's money in the bank. The main stage, Far From Heaven, July 19th through the 29th. This is a preview production. What's that?
It's a new musical, and they're trying it out in Williamstown, so we're protecting it by calling it a preview. We're allowing the artist to stay in residence at Williamstown for 2 weeks to noodle with it before they bring it to their off-Broadway run in the spring of 2013 at the off-Broadway theater Playwrights Horizons.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. We almost never do new musicals in Williamstown on the main stage. We did one last year that John Doyle directed called 10 Cents a Dance, but that was based on on music that was pre-existing, the music of Lawrence Hart. But we are doing this musical as a new piece, and it stars Kelly O'Hara, who's one of the greatest musical theater actors working right now. So we're thrilled to do that.
You are, and she's on Broadway, right?
She's on Broadway right now in Nice Work, if you can get it with Mr. Broderick.
With Matthew Broderick. That would be great. And then
she's taking her 2 weeks vacation from that show to be in Williamstown. She'll be rehearsing in New York City while she's performing the show. And then she gets contractually 2 weeks vacation. And those 2 weeks is when she will be doing, she'll be working every day performing
her
in Williamstown.
Yeah, I'm going to go see that show next week. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, it's
really fun. It was great. And then, you had initially announced a season. And then there have been rumors for years that Bradley Cooper was going to come back.
Yes.
And now he's coming back.
He's coming back. We had to wait a little while to, cross the T's and dot the I's. But
now, is Elephant Man something he wanted to do?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, Bradley Cooper went on, I believe it was Charlie Rose last summer, and said, I'll be doing The Elephant Man at Williamstown next summer. And I said, really? News to me. But
is that true? You didn't know that?
Well, we had been, the director, Scott Ellis, and I had been discussing it, but it had been no means finalized. And he said that last August.
Yeah.
And then, it took us this long. I mean, it really took us until April to get it all set.
That's fantastic.
It's exciting. I mean, Bradley Cooper is, in fact, a wonderful actor. He did a great job in a play in Williamstown a few years ago that Teresa Rebeck wrote, that Scott Ellis, the same director, directed. And he's always wanted to come back. And this part really speaks to him. He was able to do it when he was in school training as an actor. He played the role of John Merrick in The Elephant Man. But he's always wanted to revisit it. And this is going to be a beautiful chamber piece in the Nico stage, our smaller space, and a real special chance to see him. And Patricia Clarkson, one of the great theater actresses of all time, also.
Absolutely.
So it's a great.
And has been at to Williamstown.
Yes, she did the Ride Down Mount Morgan back in my first year in 96. And
now, all right, hold on.
Okay.
Test me. Ride Down Mount Morgan was Arthur Miller, of course.
Correct.
So it's F. Murray Abraham.
Yes.
Michael Lernert.
Yes. Patricia Clarkson.
Patricia Clarkson.
I can't remember anyone else being in it.
My God, what a show.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
And during that,
new play by Arthur Miller.
And I sat next to Arthur Miller when I saw that. And then I was like, it doesn't get cooler than this.
There are those great moments in Williamstown. We all have those stories. It's true. That's what makes it special.
Doesn't get better than that. I remember, and there was a thing in the program that says, please join us for a little party at the president's house or whatever.
Oh.
And my mother, who never always said, I'm not really into that, looked at me and said, well, let's go to this. Look, there's Paul Newman. Let's go to this. And then on the main stage, A Month in the Country, a world premiere translation.
Yes. A Month in the Country is a very well-regarded play by Ivan Turgenev, a Russian dramatist who wrote around the time of Chekhov, a little bit after. And his plays are similar to Chekhov's. They are pastoral. They tend to be comedies with a very serious dramatic streak. But they're beautiful roles for actors to sort of, really sink their teeth into, which is very much in the tradition of what the Williamstown Theater Festival has done for many, many years, giving beautiful life to these kinds of plays. And I love this translation. It's very contemporary feeling. It's younger feeling. It's really written for younger actors than what people know when they've seen other revivals of A Month in the Country.
So sort of theatrical chamber music.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. I think this piece is going to be beautiful. And these translators, besides Richard Nelson, who's the playwright, Larissa Volokonsky and Richard Prevere are sort of the great translators right now of Anna Karenina and Dostoevsky. I mean, they're really extraordinary writers.
Katori Hall is doing a world premiere. What a Blood Clot?
Yes, this is our last show on the Nico stage, and it's a world premiere, as you said earlier.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what do we need to know about this show?
It's probably one of the funniest plays I've ever produced. Katori is examining race in this play, but in a very sort of atypical way. She tells the story of a wealthy Park Avenue, rich lady who, has ridiculous amounts of money and status and cares about those elements in her life more than anything. And she learns that Beyoncé and Jay-Z are trying to move into her co-op, and she tries to block it. And it gets very heated up, and she suffers a stroke. When she recovers from the stroke, this wealthy, white, blonde, gorgeous person wakes up with a Jamaican patois because she suffers from a real medical condition. It's authentic. This is a real thing that can happen, called foreign accent syndrome. So she wakes up speaking with a very thick Jamaican dialect, and, you know,
hilarity ensues.
Correct. And she just explodes every potential stereo. No one is safe in this play, and that's what makes it so funny.
And then, of course, we're out of time, but then there are all the other activities that go along with the festival, including
the late night cabaret.
The cabaret. Louis Black is going to be doing stand-up. Susie Essman's going to be doing stand-up. You have the Friday workshops for the family, the fellowship projects, Fridays at 3, and the talkbacks. And you can find all of this information if you go to wtfestival.org. But if you check your mailbox, you may see the beautiful brochure in there as well.
Or call and get one if you want one.
That's right. It's wtfestival.org, wtfestival.org. Jenny Gersten is the artistic director of the Williamstown Theater Festival. You are an absolute delight and the best, and I can't wait to see the season you put together. You should be incredibly proud of yourself.
Thanks, Joe. I feel good.
Excellent. You'll be back for the fun drive, right?
We'll see you indeed. Then. I'll be back in June.
Look forward to that. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.